I want to thank Brent Beauparlant of the Toronto Dragons in the International Fight League for taking some time out today talking to us here at JerryPark.com. He's got a huge week ahead of him. He's going to be one of the four middleweight fighters in this week's IFL Grand Prix. And who knows, if he wins this Saturday night, he could be on his way to the finals this coming December 29th in Uncasville, Connecticut, fighting for the first ever middleweight title in the International Fight League. First off, Brent, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Hey, thank you.
So I wanted to talk to you a bit about your career prior to going into MMA. You have an extensive wrestling background, and you were a member of the Canadian National Wrestling Team for over a decade. Can you talk to us a bit about your career pre-International Fight League?
Well, I was like most MMA guys. I had an extensive, you know, amateur career, and it basically led me to MMA. I mean, I wrestled. My family's from an Eastern European background, so everybody wrestles. And it was a great experience. I mean, when you talk to most people, they really loved it. And I don't know, there's not much else I can say. Wrestling gave me a good base.
You moved over into the world of mixed martial arts at the age of 32, which is kind of in the middle. You know, you weren't a spring chicken and you weren't an old veteran. Why did you decide
to... I felt like an old veteran. I can tell you. I felt like it.
Well, why did you decide to make the switch at that age?
It's a pretty simple story. When I was wrestling, we had this guy come out, this short little Brazilian guy who had a funny accent. And so I've traveled a lot, so I befriended him. His name was Wagner Fabiano. And he told me I should come out and try some Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And then Wagner would bring these other guys out, like Ivan Mangivar, Dave Loiseau, George St. Pierre. And they kept telling me the same thing. They're like, why don't you come out, do some, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which is like basically just an extension of wrestling. And then they said, why don't you, you try it out? And then, you know, as the story goes, I got to know George better, St. Pierre, and he goes, well, why don't you come and box with me? And so we boxed amateur as well. So it's just, you know, a sort of like a gradual progression. You know, if you allow yourself keep going with it, MMA is like a natural progression, you know. So no fantastic stories, man.
Let's say this was 10 years ago and the sport of mixed martial arts wasn't as popular or widely accepted as it is today. What would someone such as yourself, a guy who's trained his whole life in the world of wrestling, part of the national team in his own country, what would then have been the next transition? Is that the point where you just kind of look for another job? Or, you know, was there anything else that you could have thought of to do, maybe go into boxing, something like that?
No, there's nothing else. When you get out of the amateur field, and that's the tragedy, like even now, there's a lot of guys on my team, you know, on my old wrestling team, they're my age, and they're looking around, and they're like, there's nothing else to do. So basically, we all go into teaching and coaching. There's no, you know, if MMA hadn't come along, that's what everybody'd be doing.
So you made your debut into the world of mixed martial arts in June 2004, fought for a couple of, I guess you can call them independent cards, and then finally made your debut into the International Fight League as a light heavyweight in 2006. You opened up with a win, but then you seem to have kind of were unable to find your place within the IFL. You lost a few fights in a row and then decided to move down into the middleweight division, which is where you're currently enjoying a lot of success. You've won your last two fights. Talk a bit about why you've decided to move to the middleweight division and the success you've been enjoying, especially in your last two fights.
Well, it's very simple. For me at 205, I'm not in shape. And number two, the guys at 205 are tall, so it's reach. You know, again, you know, I wish I could give you some sort of like, you know, fancy explanation, but that's it. Their reach is a lot longer. And for me to get inside and do what I have to do, it's a lot harder. 185 is just a natural weight for me. That's where I belong. That's where I competed. You know, when I was my most competitive, I was at 85, you know, 82 kilos, which is, you know, it's all basically around there, 82, 83, 84, you know. And now it's where I feel comfortable at 185. But I have to give credit to my coach, like Terry Riggs. He's listed as the assistant coach for the Toronto Dragons, but I have to give credit to Carlos and Carlos Newton and Terry Riggs. They've really brought me to where I'm going at right now.
That said, did you try to sign with the IFL as a middleweight fighter and then they asked you to fight at 205, or was there a reason why you started off as 205 even though you clearly are more comfortable at 185?
Well, you know the expression, when it sounds too good to be true, it is? Well, that's what the IFL sounded like to me. You know, we get a salary and then we get our fight purse. I mean, that just sounded too good to be true. So I told him, you know what, for the first few fights, you know, I told Terry that I'll be happy at 205. But then as soon as I saw that this organization's for real and these guys want to be around for a long time, then I was recommended that I go down to 185, and I happily accepted. I mean, that's where I belong anyways.
How did you first get in contact with the International Fight League? This organization has only been around for 2 years, coming in the midst of this huge MMA boom in North America. Did you pursue them, or did they come after you?
It's one of those stories. I was just lucky. I happened to run into Terry Riggs, and he just happened to know that there was a 205 guy hanging around that wasn't signed with... Like in Montreal, there's basically an exclusivity. Everybody fights for TKO. So he knew that I wasn't signed with TKO. And he was looking for a 205 guy that was around Toronto that could be around for them to work with. So it's just luck. You know, I wish I could tell you it was my skill that, you know, brought me to that point. But no, it was luck.
Well, you're definitely... Sorry about that. Definitely making the best of the situation, obviously. You mentioned TKO, which is widely popular in Montreal. A lot of even UFC fighters, guys like Jonathan Goulet, Patrick Cote, still make appearances within TKO. With your contract with the IFL, do they allow you to fight on local cards like that, or are you exclusive to them?
With my contract, I can only fight for the IFL in North America. But anywhere else, I'm open to fight for any organization.
And now, talking about the Grand Prix, this coming Saturday, November 3rd, it's going to be broadcasted in the United States on My Network TV. And just a few minutes ago, I got the news that fans in Canada will be able to watch the event on Fox Sports World Canada, which is great news for the fight fans across the Great White North. Wanted to get your thoughts on this new Grand Prix. It's the first time that the IFL is holding it, and they're going to try to crown a champion in each of the five major weight classes. This is kind of going a little away from the traditional format of the IFL, which is a team-based format. How excited are you to be one of the top four middleweights going into this Grand Prix? And how do you like your chances, especially going up against who many would consider the number one contender, Benji Raddick?
Well, I'm exceptionally happy because I was always a fan of the Pride Grand Prix. And for the longest time, everyone thought we were going to be fighting two matches the same night, you know, like a real Grand Prix style. But, I'm exceptionally happy with the IFL and what they're doing right now. And you know what? That's what people want. They want the team fights, but they also want the individual fights. And what's more exciting than a Grand Prix? As far as my chances concerning Saturday night, man, I can't tell you. My preparation's been the best it's ever been. And in every fight, if you get a chance to see my fights, you'll see there's always a huge progression from fight to fight. So I think there's going to be a lot of surprises Saturday. I don't know what the odds are on me for this fight, but I know for my last fight, I think they're like 6-1 or 4-1 or something like that. So I think there's going to be a lot of upsets, and with me coming up on top.
I've read a lot of interviews with Benji, and he seemed to be a little dismissive of you. He wasn't totally, you know, looking past you, but I didn't get the sense that he felt that you were a viable threat to his goal of eventually capturing that title. Have you sort of sensed that? And, you know, a lot of people are talking about the big names involved and not saying that you're not one of them, but you seem to fly under the radar when it comes to this Grand Prix. Are you kind of sensing that you're just going to kind of sneak in there and then shock the world? Is that your approach?
That's my approach. I'm not a big name because my school's not a big name either. You know, a lot of these guys are attached to, like, you know, with Horwich or Raddick, it's either ATT or they're with Bas Rutten, or et cetera, et cetera. They're all big names, big schools. So, of course, people are going to give them more exposure. But I think Carlos has done very well with himself, you know, flying under the radar, and that's what I'm going to do.
I love matchups like this one because obviously you're a fighter who specializes in the ground game. You come from a wrestling background, and Benji on the other hand is more of a striker. So it's a great kind of mismatch here. How are you going to try to neutralize his striking game? Are you looking to take this fight straight to the ground, or I know you've definitely improved on your ground game as well as jiu-jitsu. So are you, Matt Hamill, Michael Bisping a few months ago in London, everyone thought Hamill was going to take him straight to the ground. He didn't. He stood with him. What is your approach going into this fight?
Well, I can't give away all my strategy.
Understood.
But if you look at my last fight, I fought against Leopoldo, who's probably one of the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighters out there, who's in MMA right now. And I stood with him, and I dominated him on standing. So what's going to happen Saturday? I'm not going to give away my strategy, but I'm not in a hurry to take him down, and I'm not fearful of being standing with him. His last two fights, if you look at him, he's gotten one straight right, and his chin is it's questionable. You know what I mean? So we're going to see what happens Saturday. That's all I can say.
Last February, you lost via Kimura to Matt Horwich. And if you win this fight and Matt wins his semifinal fight, you guys will actually meet up again in the finals on December 29th, and you'll have a chance to avenge that loss. How, I mean, you must be really...
Yeah, but that's, you know what, that's too far down the line for me to even comment. I got a tough guy to fight Saturday. I'm not going to tell you he's not. It's a tough guy to fight Saturday, so we'll wait and see what happens there. And
all right.
Horwich has got a tough guy to fight Saturday, too. Like, as much as I'm being sort of dismissed and I'm like a no-name, Horwich is fighting a no-name, too. So it makes for interesting matchups because the underdog, you can never count out the underdog, especially not in MMA, No surprises there, my friend.
Now, with the Grand Prix event that's going to obviously culminate on December 29th, then next year you guys are going back to the regular season starting again. Just yesterday we spoke with Jay Larkin, who's the new president of the IFL, and he said that there would be a lot of new changes in the league, potentially moving away from the team-based concept to more camps, such as, Extreme Couture or Bas Rutten camps or whatnot. Would you like to see the IFL move in that direction, or are you happy with the way things are right now?
I can only tell you as a fighter, I really enjoy the team concept. Now, if, Cordato and Garib Sheamus, Larkin and those individuals feel that it's better for us to move away from that and go into, camp versus camp, then, obviously they've been doing their homework and they know that's what's best for us and what's best for getting viewership. Because the bottom line is, there's a lot of people out there vying for a spot, as far as competing is going. There's a lot of organizations, a lot of good organizations, a lot of good fighters. So we'll see what happens next year.
Would you like the IFL to try to move into having their fights staged within the cage? They seem to be really the only major organization within North America that holds their fights in a ring now. Probably the last one since Pride on the national stage that people really recognize. Do you like the fact that you guys are kind of different and hold it in the traditional ring, or would you like to see some uniformity within the sport and have it all the fights held within the cage?
No, absolutely not. I hate the cage. I find that it slows down the fighting. The fighting is a lot more slower paced, and it just leads to a lot of ground and pound. And I'm not really a big fan of ground and pound. You stack the guy in the corner of the cage and you just ground and pound him for 3 minutes or 4 minutes. IFL is exciting to watch because if there's nothing happening on the ground, man, they're going to stand you up and you're going to have to bang. It's a lot harder fighting in the IFL. Fighting 4 minutes in the IFL is a lot harder than fighting 5 minutes in the cage, I guarantee you. So no, I don't want them to move away from what we have right now.
The UFC has enjoyed great success the last couple of years, and now Elite XC has kind of come on to the scene, as well as the IFL. For some reason or another, it seems as though the IFL is sort of stuck in neutral right now. Maybe the Grand Prix will kind of propel it to that next level in terms of mainstream acceptance. Why do you think that is? Why do you think fans haven't necessarily gravitated towards the IFL as, the UFC or Elite XC thus far?
Well, I think is that it's a really revolutionary concept. You have teams in MMA, and I think a lot of people, a lot of the hardcore, old school fans don't like it, or maybe they like it, but they'll only watch it, secretly when none of their friends are around. I think it's just a very hard concept for people to grasp that MMA, which is perceived as being an individual sport, you know, could have teams involved in it and it could be exciting. So I think it's just a question of time. You know, it's a new organization. It's like, what, 13, 14 months old?
Right.
So there's also a question of time, you know, like with any new idea, it just takes time for people to accept it.
If you win the Grand Prix, have they, obviously you'll be the new middleweight champion. Are there any incentives that will be kicked in within your contract? I know this is kind of a new idea, and you've now since signed, you know, you've been signed for 2008. Have they told you about what you would win as far as purses go if you would end up winning the Grand Prix?
No, we just finalized what I'll get for this fight. And so for the next fight, you know, it's not that I'm not confident. It's just that I always fight the same way, one fight at a time. So this fight has to be taken care of, and then after that, we'll see what happens. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, absolutely, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, I don't think it's wise to try to see, you know, into the crystal ball. You know, we'll let the dust, you know, settle after this Grand Prix and see what happens after that.
So being a part of the Grand Prix, you kind of had to have signed that 08 extension, which I'm sure you were glad to do so. There were a couple of fighters who, for whatever reason, weren't that interested in doing so. Ben Rothwell, Mike Whitehead, there seemed to be some issues with them, which has kind of put this black cloud over the event. Do you feel as though, you know, the way they handled the situation kind of looked badly on the IFL and the Grand Prix, or is that something that you don't really concern yourself with when you have a big fight coming up?
When you have a big fight, even if I didn't have a big fight, you know what? I don't know what their contractual agreements were. I don't know what their I just don't know the details of their situation. And to tell you honestly, you know, I don't really care. As an MMA fighter, I can only take care of myself and try to get what's best for me. So if those two individuals or three individuals, because there was Jay Heron involved in that as well, I think, if they think that what they've chosen is best for them, then, you know, good for them. I don't think it'll bring a big shadow on the IFL because with every show we have, you know, the fans love it. So, yeah, there'll be a couple of names missing and then a couple of names will show up. That's always how it is. You know, a lot of times every show, you know, the best fights are on the undercards or, you know, the best fighters are the guys that are hungry for it. And, you know, like we're lucky now we have Gideon on the card as well, you know, our 170 guy. And so, I think it'll be an exciting show, nonetheless.
Yeah, and Heron actually at the 11th hour did sign the contract, so he is actually part of the Grand Prix. But before you did sign that 2008 extension, had you talked to any other organizations, UFC, EXE, any companies over in Japan, or was the IFL the only place that you wanted to be?
IFL was the only place I wanted to be. I hadn't spoken to anyone else.
You have this extensive wrestling background. One of the top wrestlers in Canada for many years, and there have since been rumors in the last couple of months of Kurt Angle possibly joining the IFL in some sort of capacity. It's not really known just yet. As a former wrestler, I had to ask you what your thoughts on Kurt Angle possibly being a part of the IFL in some capacity in the future.
You know what? People can knock Kurt Angle all they want, but I saw him wrestle when he was in shape and when he was serious about wrestling, and he's an accomplished athlete. You know, he's a very talented athlete. You know, his results speak for themselves. I don't know. Are you Persian? What's your last name?
My last name is Helwani. My family's actually Lebanese.
Oh, okay, Lebanese. So you're not so familiar with the wrestling, but I mean, he beat some good guys. He beat some good Persians or Iranian wrestlers. He beat some good guys. And you know what? Now he's a popular figure, so I think that anything he brings, you know, to the IFL would be good. It's a high profile athlete, you know.
Some people were actually,
I think it'd be good.
Some people were opposed to it just because they, you know, they don't want to get involved in the pro wrestling world and have, you know, someone who's, I guess at this point, is more known for his exploits within the wrestling ring, the pro wrestling ring.
Yeah, wrestling.
Yeah, as opposed to the amateur wrestling ring. But I agree with you. I think that having a guy like him as sort of a goodwill ambassador, and maybe he could be an assistant coach on one of the teams and help train in wrestling specifically while maybe one day fighting in the IFL ring, I think that would be great.
why not? You know what I mean? Why not? And, you know, it's a spectacle at the end. This guy is a showman. He knows how to put on a good show. So he might be a great MMA guy. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of factors that we don't really look at sometimes as MMA fighters, but a lot of the top guys are charismatic. You know, when you watch them, it's not just their fighting skills. They just have that, you know, that charisma, and I think he's got it. So I think it's a plus. And, you know, it brings a lot of talk, and you know what? That's what you want. You want talk, right? Like, look at, I think it's Elite XC. They've got Goldberg as a commentator.
Right.
You know, they've had pro football players in there. Bob Sapp, pro football player, fighting in Pride. You know, wherever you can pique interest and get dollars, I'm pretty cold-hearted, you know what I mean? I'm pretty logical. That's good.
So before we let you go, Brent, this past year has been a great one for Canadian fighters in mixed martial arts. There was a little bit of a roadblock for George St. Pierre there in April, but we won't discuss that. As a fellow Canadian, and for all your Canadian fans out there, we need to know, are you going to be the next Canadian to hold the title? Give us some sort of prediction here. I know you don't like to look in advance, but this is Jerry Park. I mean, I'm sure you know what Jerry Park symbolizes. Give us some sort of prediction as to what's going to happen this Saturday, when you think the fight's going to end, because obviously you're going to come out on top, and then going into December and beyond for yourself in the IFL.
Well, as far as Saturday's concerned, it's going to be a third-round stoppage, and I'm going for the belt. There's nothing else. Like, why would I be training this hard and sacrificing this much if it wasn't for the belt?
All right, so we'll call you after the fight on Saturday and see if that third round stoppage. We hope it'll be less than three rounds, just because, you know, try to get as many fights in there on the televised card. They're only giving you guys an hour, but at the end of the day, as long as your hand is raised, I think all the Canadian fans who are now going to get to see the fight live on Fox Sports World Canada, which is very exciting news, are definitely going to be pulling for you. I want to thank you so much for taking the time here. I know this must be a really busy week for you, and good luck this Saturday. And if you do win, you definitely have to check in again before December 29th, because we need to talk to you about that stuff as well.
Not a problem.
Thanks so much, and good luck.
All right, thank you.